Jeremiah chapter 11, verses 18 to 23. Jeremiah's danger and Jeremiah's defense. Jeremiah was in tremendous danger here, and he didn't know it. He was naive, really. He didn't realize the danger he was in, but God knew it. And the Lord told him about it. But the Lord more than told him about his danger. He protected him, and he defended him. Jeremiah's danger and defense. Jeremiah 11, 18 to 23. The people plotted against him. The house of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the Jews, went against him and would have killed him if they could. Because the Lord revealed their plot to me, I knew it. For at that time he showed me what they were doing. I have been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not realize that they have plotted against me, saying, "Let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But, O Lord Almighty, you who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the men of Anathoth who are seeking your life and saying, "Here is God speaking to Jeremiah." They're saying, "Do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hands." Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says: I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword, their sons and daughters by famine. Not even a remnant will be left of them, because I will bring disaster on the men of Anathoth in the year of their punishment. Jeremiah 11, 18 to 23. The Lord showed them. The Lord showed Jeremiah the plot against him. And look at their words. Let us destroy the tree and its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. Verse 19. Jeremiah had just said about Judah, "You're a thriving olive tree. The Lord has made you that. He's called you that. But he will bring you down. Though you get fruit now at the moment, beautiful in form." That's what it should have been. I'm talking about verse 16. "But the roar of the mighty storm, God will set it on fire." That's how he'll do it, with this mighty storm from Babylon. "And Judah's branches, like this olive tree, will be broken down. The Lord Almighty who planted you has decreed disaster for you. You provoke me to anger by going to Baal, and now I will destroy you like an olive tree." And they've taken these words, and they've taunted Jeremiah. You can hear them speaking in their conference, in their caucus, in their cabal. You can hear them speaking. "Oh, he's talking about olive tree. Well, I'll teach him a lesson. We'll teach him a lesson. Let's destroy the tree and its fruit. Let's bring him down. Let's shut him up and kill him so he can't speak anymore." Yes. If men will not respond to the preaching of God's word, whether it be in the Old Covenant or the New, if men will not respond to it, they hate the message, they hate the messenger, and they hate the God of the message. Remember Luther, he said before he started Romans, when he didn't understand about justification by faith, he said he hated Romans 1, 16 and 17, that was a hateful text. He said, "I hate what it says there, and I hate the God there that I see." But when God opened his eyes and his heart to understand the meaning of Romans 1, 16 to 17, when he understood what the righteousness of God is, he said, "Oh, I love that text, and how I love the God of that text." So it is today, my friend. Men either hate Christ or they love him and trust him and submit to him. Men either hate the gospel or else they submit to it. You may say, "Oh no, there's many in between." My friend, you're either for or against. And here it shows their hatred against Jeremiah. And what does Jeremiah do? He cries out to God. When God shows him, what does he do? But, O Lord Almighty, you who judge righteously, he casts himself upon the Lord and tests the heart and mind. You know. You see what's going on inwardly in their hearts and in their minds, and you see what's in my heart and in my mind too. Let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Well, this is the day of the Old Covenant. What should we pray today? What should I pray? Men are going to reject what I'm saying. I've tried to preach now for 60-odd years. What will I do to those men? What will I think of these people who have refused it? I pray that God will open their hearts and minds and yet to respond to the truth, where it is the truth. Of course, where I've preached error or nonsense or falsehood or mistakes or whatever word you want to use, may that be forgotten and forgiven. But where the truth of God is here, then may God bless it and give these people a new heart. If you have refused it, my friend, I pray yet you will not refuse. If it is the word of the Lord, then turn and believe and be saved, or repent and reform, whatever God calls you to. Unbeliever, repent and believe. Believer, repent and reform. But of course, the wrath of God is still there. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the men of Anathoth who are seeking your life. What does God say? I will visit them in judgment. I will bring disaster upon them. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We cannot play fast and loose with God. I will punish them. They will be brought down. Jerusalem will be destroyed. I will bring them down. Disaster will come upon them. And I tell you now, my friend, unbeliever, if you refuse the gospel, if you will not trust Christ, you will perish. Why will you perish? Why will you come to damnation? Because you refuse Christ. John 3:18, John 3:36, John 12, and so on and so on. But it's a warning to the believer, too. God is calling us, I'm sure, in these days, in the churches, to repent. Repent of our paganism, our worldliness, our childishness, our puerile way of going on with the gospel, our adulteration of the gospel, our dumbing of it down, our retraction of the truth, and the substitution of carnality for spirituality. God is going to judge it for this. Now is the time to repent and reform. Will you do it, brother, sister? I appeal to you elders, you writers, you publishers, who are leading the people into this paganism and this frivolity and this nonsense. I appeal to you before it is too late. Judgment is on the road. We shall have to give an account. Jeremiah is not unique in this. He's not the first to have suffered, nor the last. But God knows. I know men want the truth silenced today. They stifle it. They boot it into the long grass. But God will bring it home to them. To me, to you, to us all. So I appeal to you, unbeliever, hear the word of the Lord and act upon it. Come to Christ if you've never come before, and return to the Lord our God if you've wandered away. Well, I find this discourse, I find this passage, two things. One, a warning to the unbeliever and the believer, and an encouragement to all faithful believers, all who faithfully hold out the word of life. Whatever the personal cost, may God bless us, brother and sister, to go on lifting up the word of life, preaching Christ, whether men will hear or whether they will not hear. One day they will hear. If they will not hear in mercy now, they will hear in judgment hereafter. May it be that God will use these words to turn many to mercy now, for Christ's sake, to the glory of his name. But he, whichever course it he takes, whichever way it goes, he will be glorified. Jeremiah's danger, yes, but Jeremiah's defense.